You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Wednesday. It is the 29th of December in the year 2004. And I want to remind you that this is the last broadcast night for us of the week. For those of you who may tune in and out sometimes, we broadcast four nights a week for about seven years. And we began getting behind on the air bill to the point that we were going to have to wrap up the broadcast. I intended to do it in November. Jeff Bennett called and suggested that he would take one night a week, which we decided on Thursday. And so, therefore, we are still broadcasting. And one of the reasons, of course, we had a pledge night, and so many of you called in, and not one person who called in with the pledge, we reneged on the pledge, folks. So we're still on the air, and as long as you want us to be, we will be. Monday through Wednesday. On Thursday night, our guest host is Jeffrey Bennett, and I hope you will tune in to Jeffrey. I've had a lot of calls, I've had letters, emails, people saying thank you for having Jeff Bennett on, and so I know that you will enjoy listening. And I want to tell you, this is ridiculous that I didn't know it before, our webmaster, Darren Weeks, has been a guest here on Sweet Liberty, and every time he's been on, I've had such really positive comments, and people enjoy him so much. Darren and I talked today, and I find out, he said he told me, I thought maybe he dreamed it, because I just don't think I would forget this, but he has his own broadcast. For those of you on the Internet, listening on the Internet, you can hear Darren Weeks on Monday night at 11 p.m., right after Sweet Liberty on Monday night. Melody Cedarstrom is on, and Darren Weeks follows her. So I wanted to tell you that. Please write it down, make a note of it, and be sure to tune in. His information is documented, and his presentation is just excellent. So I so regret that I didn't know before that he had this broadcast. I want to share our spiritual message, and then we'll get on with this Wednesday night broadcast. This is a prayer for the power of Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew me so that I can reach my fullest potential. Fill me to overflowing with your gifts, your power, your love. I open myself to receive all that the Father has for me. He is the creator of everything, and I am his child. Therefore, far more is available to me than I ever imagined. Help me to receive it all. Teach me how to use your gifts. Instruct me in all truth. Fill my mind with your thoughts, and help me to recognize your voice. Make me an instrument of the Father's will. And I like that. It's a wonderful reminder. And tonight we have a guest, and I know that you will, most of you, maybe all of you, will be delighted to hear that Alan Watt is back with us again this evening. And by the way, in case I forget, we won't be seeing you then back until after the new year. So let me wish you all a blessed and peaceful and abundant new year. And now we'll bring Alan up. Hello, Alan, and thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I keep forgetting about the new year.
Well, I thought about it tonight while I was getting dinner, and
yeah.
I thought, whoa, by the time, you know, thank you, sweetheart, by the time we get back, it will be after the new year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The incoming new year. Something I was going to mention to our listeners, Alan. Folks, if you haven't been to Sweet Liberty today, I would like it if you would go in and take a look. Darren and I spent about 3 hours on the phone, and Sweet Liberty website, sweetliberty.org, has had a facelift. And I think that, I believe that you will find that it's a real improvement. We sort of moved things around, hopefully placed articles, items on the main page that are more prominent, that we feel are most important. But Alan, while we were talking,
yep.
He told me he had been in this government website. Oh, he said, well, we've made the grade, but we are listed as a hate site.
Oh, yeah.
And this is from a U.S. Embassy gov
uh-huh.
hate directory. And the Sweet Liberty website is listed as a website, and it's racist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it promotes violence.
Oh.
And separation, and there was a email address there and said, you know, we appreciate your comments or any corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all compiled by an individual, it says, according to his, but it is a government website.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to write to him and ask him to explain how he finds the sweetliberty.org website racist and dangerous and filled with hate.
Mm-hmm.
We do not condone violence. We don't, you know, or against other people.
It's the new, this is the new Soviet system. It's here.
Yeah. Well, that's like this guy here in Pennsylvania
mm-hmm.
that has been charged with, I think, Ted Pike said 3 or 4 felonies for, standing there with a bullhorn, I guess. Is that what you call it, a bullhorn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And protesting a homosexual. I won't call it gay. I won't use that word.
Mm-hmm.
But a homosexual outing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, this is all in your face now, and it actually does come under this new definition of democracy. Because I've heard some of the talking heads in Canada from the universities redefine democracy, and what they say is that it's the will of the people, but the government will stand up for the rights of all minorities and without distinction.
Uh-huh.
So you can imagine the kind of chaos that's been brought on if they're going to promote all kinds of minority. But the thing is, they're very selective, it seems, on which ones they
yes.
will accept and which ones they won't.
As to what is a minority in the states,
mm-hmm.
I know that there are certain states that the, quote, minorities far outnumber Americans. What would I say, the majority?
Uh-huh.
Whites.
Yeah.
Basically is what it is, because the minorities are of different races.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe probably now that the United States is probably the minority has become the majority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably true.
When you group all the minorities together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, because you have the homosexuals and you have those, Jews, and then you have all the different nationalities. They're all, thanks, sweetheart, they're all minorities.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you combine all those together,
mm-hmm.
we're outnumbered, Alan.
Well, you've got to become a new minority somehow, you know, and somehow get yourself registered as such to get any rights at all.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's come down to. That literally is what it's come down to. And in a new system which is global and international, and a mishmash of everything, then obviously they made this agenda long, long ago, knowing exactly how they were going to do it and implement it. And, you know, the white people aren't going to stand in their way. That's very obvious.
Yeah.
But the white man is a good worker bee. I think he was basically created for this, you know. And what I see now is that it's the white man, it's generally the poor white man too, and they're using a lot of the poor blacks over in the Middle East to finish off the job, you know.
And the pathetic thing is that there are so many minions, so many useful idiots
mm-hmm.
that help to promulgate the plan.
Yes.
And just shove it ahead full steam. We were talking about this tonight. I was talking with a friend about, you know, the taxes, the land taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if your home would be mortgage-free or not. If you cannot pay your taxes, you're losing it.
Yes.
And in Pennsylvania here, and I don't know if it's county by county or what, or township by township, but there is this thing called an occupational tax.
Oh.
Okay, now, there was a lady in Scranton. She was a retired woman, and she got the bill for the occupational tax, and she didn't pay it, and they dunned her again and then threatened, you know, that she was going to get. So she called them, and she said, I don't qualify here. I don't have an occupation. I am a retired person. And the lady said, this has nothing to do with your work. You are occupying space.
Oh, okay.
This is true, what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And it sounds insane, but look at all the townships or counties, whatever, mm-hmm. that pass these school districts, that pass these absolutely ungodly, insane taxes.
Well, that was also the Communist Manifesto, wasn't it?
Yep, it's also in the protocols, by the way.
That's right, steadily increasing taxes. And,
that's right.
You know, leading eventually to the abolition of private property. And, of course, that's well on its way, and we can see that when you look into the United Nations habitat areas of the very, very near future, where everybody's supposed to live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to tax people out of their homes, especially in the rural areas. And we're all supposed to live very happily for a while in these little habitat communities, which they admit there'll be all rental units. There'll be no private property there and no private transportation either. That's in the habitat report
uh-huh.
from the UN. So this is the future, and because most people don't understand what really is going on, they fall for all the excuses that are given at the time. You know, we simply have to do this because of, etc., etc. But the fact is, it was planned a long time ago, and they're actually implementing it. And I really believe that once the U.S. has brought this great new democracy to the rest of the world, the standardization of the system, then it'll be time to pull the plug on the U.S.
Yes, you said that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And when you said it, I didn't even have a doubt that what you said was so. It follows. I mean, we can see it happening, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said that it was brought in. And as I was writing the book that's online,
mm-hmm.
Jewish Persecution, and in my chapter 12 of it is when I really realized that exactly what you said was right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you said was right. And you remember when I got really ticked off at you?
Yeah.
About the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you've rattled my cage, Alan.
Well, it's a process, isn't it? I mean, understanding is a process.
Yes, it is.
And it's a process of shedding off that which we've been indoctrinated with in order to see clearly. And until we do shed off all indoctrination, we will never see clearly. And therefore, a new hood can be pulled over our eyes very easily. And we're hoodwinked again. You know?
Uh-huh, the hoodwink. That has to do with the hood that goes on the Freemasons, yes?
Yeah.
Isn't where that candidate came from?
Yes, it's the candidate's head, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hoodwinked,
yeah. And so sure. I mean, they do this all the time. The people are being shepherded into the whole new system with the environment and the crisis and all the rest of it, you know. And they will go along with it. And the ones who are in school right now at the present time truly believe everything that they've been indoctrinated with to do with saving the planet.
Yeah.
And they will be the inhabitants of these habitat areas.
And be very proud.
Yes.
And very pleased that they aren't ruining the rest of the world for the animals.
Yes, and they'll also be the enforcers for those old people, you know, who live in the old ways, etc., who won't go along with it. They'll drag them off, thinking they're doing the world a favor. So this is why they could write Revelations a long time ago, spell out the agenda in Revelations, and say that the children would turn against their parents. And the reason they could write that is because it had been done before.
And, of course, Revelations is... What is Revelations supposed to be? The Revelations of John?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. You have to go into the whole esoteric meaning of what John is. And what... the full name is Jonathan. And John is Eon, which is fire, basically. The old mystery religion had its headquarters in Iona, in Iona at one time, and that became the Jai when it was Latinized. So you had John, and so it was fire, and they had the symbol of the fire worship outside their temples. And then you have Atham, which is John Atham, which is Atom, the sun, you know. John Atom, the fire of the sun, that's what it means.
John Atom.
So it's the fire of the sun gives you the revelation.
Well, is there any name that doesn't have some type of an esoteric meaning?
Well, all of those in the Bible do, you know. All of those in the Bible do, because the mystery religion had been centered there at that time, a few thousand years ago, for quite a long, long time. Although it had other centers across different parts of the world, that was one of the main centers of it.
And, what would Timothy mean?
I forget what Timothy was, and I did know it too, you know, but I could look that up for you.
Okay.
If I worked that one out, yeah.
Okay.
But no, they all had specific meanings, and some of them they explain, where they give Simon a new name, and it's called Peter.
Simon Peter, yes.
Yeah. And so they're giving you clues there, and of course Peter is Pater or Petra, which is the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And of course on the rock, etc., and all this stuff. So they're giving you the same symbology of the old mystery religion in the names of the people. And then another one is Son of Thunder, Zebedee, you know, and Son of Thunder. And of course, old Yahweh used to be called the Thunder God, because the volcano made all the bangs. In fact, there's Psalms there that he roared, in his clear, strong voice, like thunder. So he was the volcano god. So they give you all the clues in the names. Basically.
Well, the thunder wasn't Thor.
In the Norse religion, it was Thor. Yeah.
And would that be the same as Jehovah in the?
Very similar, actually. Actually, it's very similar to the Egyptian, because
okay.
In the battle of the son of Osiris, who was called Horus, where we get ours from,
yes,
and Horizon.
Horus rising the
yeah.
horizon. Uh-huh.
That's right. So he lost an eye, you know, in the battle with Seth, which is night, Satan. And so you have the eye of he becomes the sun, Ra. He becomes Ra. So you have the eye of Ra. And of course, you find the same thing with the Nordic version of Thor, who lost an eye to gain wisdom by hanging on a tree. He hung on a tree for days and days to gain wisdom, and birds were pecking at his eye. So he was left with one eye. And hence the term comes in masonry, in the land of the blind, which is the profane, the masses, the people, the general public. And in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. You see?
Oh, jeez.
So it's a very esoteric thing.
Okay, here's something that maybe you could explain, because I know, you know, when I have made the statement that there is no place that I have read in the New Testament where Jesus said, I've come to establish a new religion. Mm-hmm. He said, I came to, according to what the Bible says, I came into this world to bear witness unto the truth. But what people, Christians, rely on is the fact that in the Bible, he is quoted as saying about Peter, upon this rock I will build my church.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and then of course the Catholic Church says that Peter was the first pope.
Yeah.
And so the Catholic religion was the first and the only established by Christ religion. Will you shed some light on that, Alan?
Yeah, well, he said that in a response to a reply that Peter had given, when Peter had said that he was the Messiah. He was declaring that Jesus was the Messiah. And that's when he replied to him, on this rock, this truth, that's what it means there, in that sense, I will build my church.
And what does church mean? What does church mean? I will build my church. This is what, to me, has cost. I don't understand what it means,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe that there was anything in his teachings
mm-hmm.
that would implicate, well, you have to build churches and temples and
There was nothing of it. In fact, most of his teachings were done outside.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the Bible. So, what do you think that these were words used to cause this confusion?
Oh, there's no doubt that things were added. For instance, in one of the Gospels, it's so out of character of what you're reading already. When he tells you, don't make a fuss about praying to your Father, don't do what the Pharisees do and make long, you know, prayers in public. He says, go into your closet or your room and pray to your, you know, Father.
Right.
And then later on you find him telling his disciples, what you loosen in earth shall be loosed in heaven, and you shall have the power to forgive sins. So that obviously was added in by the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Because, people used to give offerings to the temple gods, especially Jupiter in Rome, prior to Christianity, and they did confess their sins, and then they had their burnt offering. And, of course, to maintain power, priests had to have something where the people would have to. In other words, if the people could pray directly to their god, why would they need the priests? So they had to add that in, that the only way to salvation was to go and confess to the priest, basically.
And then the priest had the power to
mm-hmm.
forgive the sins.
Yes.
And that comes from that part in the Bible where he allegedly said that to his disciples.
Yeah, it's completely contradictory, you see, to other parts of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And out of nature with what he'd already supposed to have said. It's amazing how much of external or man-made theology has been tacked on to it. And of course, in the esoteric religions, they understand that the bulk of people, they really want a god that they can identify with as a person, with their own frailties, you might say. And so for ages past, they always gave the people gods which were very human in form, in that they would be jealous, they would they could be very
vengeful,
yeah, and adulterous, all of this kind of stuff, and the bulk of the people loved these festivals to these particular deities. And so when Jesus came along, they had to once again sort of humanize them to an extent in some passages, and so that the people could identify with them. And they're talking about the general population, because they need form, as they say. So they formalized religion,
uh-huh.
and formalizing religion is always done for the bulk of the people.
What would you have to say to people? You know, my concern has been, when the lies begin to be exposed, the truth revealed. In fact, I had written about this in the book, and it is when it came to my mind that I see, to me, that Christianity was created to be destroyed,
mm-hmm.
that eventually the lies would be revealed or exposed, and then people would be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And for people who have clung to all that every jot and tittle is the Word of God, even though there are so many contradictions that they cannot explain themselves, but they just would... they seem to pass that off by saying, I don't have an understanding yet
mm-hmm.
about that contradiction.
Yeah.
But not to look at it and say, this isn't, our Creator doesn't contradict itself.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it finally hits them, that they see, literally begin to see the lies, there is the sadness. And I know because I've been through that, Alan, as you know.
Yeah.
But the tendency to say, okay, then what do we do? It's all a lie. What do we have left?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could think to say is it's the truth.
Well,
we have the truth.
Here's another little sort of paradox to all of that. In cultural Christianity, and all truth in all ages, is out there for the ones that want to find it, always. For the ones who sincerely want to find it, it's there somehow. There's always a thread they can follow. But for the bulk of the people, it is true. They're in the material world. They want a material religion. If they're given truth, they will debase it back into a materialistic religion. And you see the prosperity gospels being preached today by the Benny Hens and these guys who tell you, you know, send me gold, I want it now in this world.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I've seen a tape with him actually saying that. So sure, they will always debase it because they miss the whole point of the spiritual side that Jesus portrays. It's the spiritual search of man to find the Christ within, and that's what the whole message was when he tells you, if the Father is in me, and then I'm in you. Well, the Christ is in you. It's not a matter of going to a church in cultural Christianity, going through a ritual or a formula, like a mathematical formula, 2 and 2 is 4, and you say this and say that, then you're a Christian. That's for the masses of the people, because the spiritual path is an individual journey, and only the individual can make that journey. You can't do it in a crowd.
And a priest can't give it to you.
Yes, and once you're on that journey, then you know that you're getting closer to that which you would call your Creator. Because your mind completely alters, the way you view everything suddenly alters, and you know you're now on a journey, and you know that something is in communication by the very way that you now see the whole world, and it's a flow of energy that comes. So it was always intended to be that way.
It seems too that as we're on that journey and getting further into it, that the intuition seems to be so heightened.
Yes, intuition and other senses definitely heighten. You become alive, and that's what he said too. I come to give life and more abundantly.
Yes, and
he wasn't talking about prosperity.
I'd like you to continue this right after this break.
Yeah.
Okay, and thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, get your pen in hand, please. You're going to get my address, and if you would like to help keep Sweet Liberty on the air, you are being invited cordially to become part of this. We'll be right back with Alan Watt.
world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back with Alan Watt. And we will be giving you Alan's address in a few minutes. But I would like, we were before the break, I mentioned the fact that our intuition seems to be so much stronger. And Alan, you were talking about that, and would you continue,
yes,
please?
I mean, there's no doubt that the children are born with a heightened sense of awareness and actual telepathy. And the closer the friends that they have, the more they show this, because they'll start whistling a tune at the same tune at the same time, or they'll start singing the lines of a song at the same time. And then they turn and laugh at each other, and because it's so common with them. And that type of thing is knocked out of us as soon as we go to school, because we're trained then just to be good producers, consumers, and taxpayers.
And so, caretakers of the earth.
That's right, uh-huh. And that's the definition of a good United Nations citizen, is a good producer-consumer. So that's what, how we are trained. We are collateral. There's no doubt that's how we're viewed by those who run the material world. And so those abilities we have become dormant. And it's like muscles that aren't used. They can atrophy to an extent. But when a person's on the right path, they know it. It's not a... there's nothing you can question or imagine about it. You know you're on the right path, because your entire perception of things changes. You have sudden insights that you never had before, and you can see for the first time. The blind see, that's what it really means in the allegories. And so this can happen to people who are ready to leave the formalized, the formation, like the Masons form things for the masses, so they give you formalized religion, which is also authorized religion. And they don't like to let people, of course, tell people they don't need to go along with the masses. They can find the real truth themselves, because that is what you're finding out is truth. It's a path of truth.
You know, when Kelly Nelson, this was back in 98 sometime, when I believe I was on at 6 p.m. before you started coming on with us, we did about 10 weeks or 10 broadcasts on the controlled opposition, specifically Council for National Policy and the so-called conservative / Christian conservative leaders in this country. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, that is her forte, and she was naming names, but she was giving so much information about these individuals that it just left no doubt in people's minds. And the thing that I've marveled at, because Betty Mills had told me one time, you won't make a lot of friends, people don't want the truth. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would get calls from people, and each one that called had one of their own favorite heroes. It could have been Phyllis Schlafly, it could have been DJ Kennedy, any one of them. But then they would say, you know what? I had a feeling something was wrong. And in other words, they were not angry, and they were realizing that all along, all the time that they had been almost worshiping these people, mm-hmm. that there was that little niggling voice.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, well, then you did know, you see. And all you have to learn to do is listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ignore it.
Yeah.
And it happened over and over again, Alan.
Yeah. I mean, people, see, people really want, the bulk of the people want a deity on this planet that they can worship, something in two legs that they can see and touch. And that's the problem. It's always been the problem. And that's why if you tune into something like Oprah Winfrey or the Dr. Phil that's part of her organization, that's Harpo Productions, which is Oprah backwards, Harpo, from Harpocrates, for secrecy from the ancient mysteries, you know. But
from who?
Harpocrates in the Greek.
Not Hippocrates?
No, Harpocrates.
Harpocrates.
So Harpo was the short term for it, so it's Harpo Productions.
And like Harpo Marx.
That's right. And he was the one who kept his mouth shut because he was dumb. And that was the sign of secrecy. You know, and the ancient symbol of Harpo was in Egypt, when the Greeks ruled Egypt, was the little boy with a finger over his mouth going shh. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. But anyway, when you see Oprah coming out on stage and you see mainly women in the audience just going wild over her, you're seeing people actually worship another human being. That isn't applause. That's literally worship. That's she represents everything that those people in the audience would like to aspire to be.
In other words, it's her fame and her her success financially in that.
Everything. Yep. Yep. She represents everything they want to be, and that's why at the right time people will worship someone who claims to be a deity on Earth. They want that. The bulk of people truly want that. And it's the old saying that, you know, they get what they ask for, and they'll find that eventually it's not what they really wanted after all. But then it'll be too late for them.
I don't know if we got off course. I know I have a tendency to do that to our conversations. I don't intend to do it. But getting back, if we may, to the, for example, people who begin to see it and begin to see the lies and they feel so disillusioned. Well, I had a call from a really nice man today, and he had tuned in late, wanted your address. He wanted to know if I thought that he should have the books, and I said yes. And but he said, are you saying that the Bible is a lie? I said, that's the generality, and if I said the Bible's a lie, that would be a lie, because there is truth in it. But this is what people will have a tendency to do, is say, okay, throw it all out.
Yeah.
And I think that it was planned that way, Alan.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So that they would throw the truth, throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And then what? Then they have not, from their churches and from their religion, they have not been helped to understand, as you said earlier, that, you know, the simple truth,
mm-hmm,
that we were given, that were attributed to Jesus. I and my Father are one. People take that to say he said it. He said he was God.
Mm-hmm.
No, he said, I and my Father are one. He is in me, mm-hmm, as I am in you.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, there is not that realization that I am a beloved child of Creator and one with. And I don't have to jump through hoops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be praying to a saint or to the Mother of Jesus to get to Creator.
Yeah.
And it leaves people with a feeling of nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
That has been my concern.
Mm-hmm. But well, to say that this is a problem, the bulk of people in all ages want formalized religion.
Well, maybe they don't want it. That's what they were born into, Alan.
You will find that even if you could somehow have a miracle and have the airwaves for a month, for the whole world.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
but I'll tell you, no matter how much truth you could put out there, and then leave the people with a decision, after you've explained what's happening to the world, it was planned this way, who's doing it, where it's to go, etc., and with all their worries and their stress and their credit cards and all this stuff, you know that the bulk of people would demand you bring the same system back in right away?
Well, yes. However, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You said a long time ago we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everything you say isn't necessarily so,
mm-hmm.
but it sure rang true to me when I said, you know, how many, you said, you had made the statement that their greatest fear is that enough people will wake up
mm-hmm.
to the realization of the power that is within us,
yeah.
because the kingdom of God is within us. And once enough people, and I said, I asked you, well, how many do you think it would take?
Mm-hmm.
And you yeah. said, not very many, because there aren't very many of them.
That's right. There's not very many of them.
And that's my, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the more people who awaken, the stronger the light
mm-hmm.
becomes in this world.
Yeah, it's the old story. This is the darkness. Because of the lies and the deceit that goes on. And we are talked to like children by the media. They're talking to us as though we're children. And giving us little fairy stories instead of truth all the time. Rather than tell us what really is going on. And what the agendas are, you know.
Well, of course.
and so, sure, I mean, now some people like that. Some people will like socialism. And they do like socialism. They like to believe that there's lots of different daddies out there who specialize in different departments that one day they might need, you know. And so there are a lot of people who will truly love the slavery.
I'm not denying that.
But
what
but
I'm
no,
saying, though, is that there are people
mm-hmm.
who would hear it and do have an ear to hear and an eye to see.
Yeah.
And, boy, that wouldn't that be something?
Yes, and of course, as I say, it's any truth given out in the darkness, and it's getting darker at the moment, it gets dark for a while, as all the laws come forward to silence people.
Man's laws.
And that's, of course, what happened in the Soviet system as well, and it was tried and tested there, and they're doing it all here the same way. And eventually, if they'll be teaching you that the sky is naturally orange, and that'll be politically correct, and we'll all say the same thing.
And people will forget that the sky used to be blue.
Yes, uh-huh. So sure, it's the king has no clothes, and the crowd will go along and say, oh, yeah, I can see them, you know. And that's what political correctness is. It's lying to yourself, ultimately, to fit in. And so those who are seeking a spiritual path, regardless of what happens, and regardless of what the crowd does, can't go along with it. And of course, the people who belong to the crowd or the mob will always look around for someone else to make the first move, and then they'll follow. But for those who are awake, you don't do that. You have to stand up for yourself. That's of prime importance. Don't wait for someone else to step forward and say, I'm not going along with this. You go ahead and you say, I'm not going along with it.
Yeah, the emperor has no clothes.
Yes, and of course that's the difference between the individual who's on a spiritual path and a person who belongs to the mob, whether it be a church group or not, you know, because church groups are basically part of the mob. It's a formalized religion, and they act like a school of fish. They all move at the same time when the pastor makes the move.
Or the lemmings.
Yes. And that's the
over
difference.
The cliff with
yeah.
all of them.
Mm-hmm. So no, I mean, it's never been any different in any age, and there's been many ages prior to this one, where we get to a certain stage of balance, where those of the material try to take over the entire planet and dominate it, and it's always a battle between those who are on a spiritual path versus the material. And it doesn't mean that everybody on the planet gets saved by any means, because people are making their choices, and that means everybody's making their choices.
Each of us, every moment of every day.
Yes, but sure. I mean, if they were to get their way, the people have allowed it to happen. Individually, they have allowed it to happen. And that's something to really ponder on before it happens, and then make the decision before it happens. Because they're bringing about a living hell here on Earth.
Yeah.
And if their idea is as above, so below, then their heaven is also a hell, if they're trying to emulate that. Mm-hmm. You have to ask who their father truly is.
Well, Jesus said of the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil.
Yes, and the Pharisees were a sect.
And they were the priests of Jehovah.
Uh-huh, and they were
a society. Wouldn't that be who Jesus was referring to?
It was obvious, yeah.
But to me, it was obvious.
It was very obvious. People don't realize that the Pharisees who ruled over ordinary Jews, the Pharisees themselves were a separate esoteric sect. They had their own inner religion.
Okay.
That came from Babylon.
So the Jewish persecution, the book that is in progress online,
mm-hmm.
the title of it is Jewish Persecution, and the subtitle is Tool of the International Zionist Plan for World Dominion. And they are being used, Alan.
Well, they're being used, but, you know, there was far more... There used to be a lot more information on this. Like the B'nai B'rith, everyone thinks the B'nai B'rith is an organization that stands up for people's, supposedly downtrodden people's rights. But the B'nai B'rith is registered as a Masonic organization. And all their buildings are still called lodges yet, if you want to check them up, you know. And if you want to go into your congressional records, you can find that, I think it was Grant, General Grant, during the Civil War, issued an order that all Jews in the army were suspected of being members of the Knights of the Golden Circle, which was an organization or a spin-off of the B'nai B'rith, and that was all mentioned in the congressional records at the time. And it was Lincoln that rescinded that order. But they were actually fomenting dissension on both sides, south and north. And these were not Khazarian Jews, these were Sephardic Jews that formed the B'nai B'rith. Most of them came from London, and they were merchant families.
What is the definition of a Sephardic Jew?
Sephardics
would
are
be
the ones who live mainly in Spain.
Okay, so it wouldn't necessarily mean that they're Semites?
Even that's a whole other story. But supposedly the story is that they moved into Spain after the Roman Wars, basically, when Rome vanquished them. And they became great. In fact, they became the nobility of Spain for a few centuries. And they ruled the trading routes, and they were very, very wealthy. And they ran, that again is in the congressional records, they ran most of the slave ships to the U.S., and they ran the slave trade. So,
that was a good plan, too. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, it was a far beyond just a wonderful money-making scheme,
mm-hmm.
but to bring so many Africans into America, I mean, in the South, I understand that the slave population was almost equal to the white population.
Yeah.
So when they were all freed, there we had the division again.
They always create a division, or the Northern Ireland, or a Montreal, or a Quebec in Canada, you know. Somewhere they can stir up trouble when they want it. That's traditional.
Well, yes, so it occurs to me that the ultimate plan of slavery was to do exactly what has happened today.
Yes. But there is an authorized book by the B'nai B'rith about their history, even though they put spins on it, because at one time there was a lot of information on them and what they'd been up to, and so they put a book out to try and cover up what they'd really been doing, but they still admitted to it. And the book was authorized by, and it was written by Esther, I think L. Penance was the name of the author, authorized by the B'nai B'rith, and that was published in 1987, I think. And it's worth a read because it goes into the fact that it is a Masonic organization. It's separate from Judaism as such, and that it has a different religion from Judaism.
Sure. What is
it's basically the Illuminati sect, and it's also chartered under the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. They have a Masonic charter. So here's the B'nai B'rith writing the hate laws.
What is the name of this book again?
It's called the B'nai B'rith. The B'nai B'rith by Esther L. Penance.
The B'nai B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably be available then at any bookstore.
I don't know. It was published in 1987.
1987 isn't all that long ago.
Yeah, so you should be able to get a copy
somewhere.
Yeah,
the author.
But you know, they were implicated. The B'nai B'rith was actually, again, in the congressional records. They were implicated and brought up in the death of Lincoln.
The author again?
I think it was Esther L. Penance.
Penance?
Uh-huh.
Like paying penance?
I think it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure that is.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I read it. But yeah, I mean, the head of the organization, the Grand Master at that time, of the B'nai B'rith, was Simon Wolfe, who originally was a lawyer, and his name came up, and the B'nai B'rith, because he was so friendly with Booth that shot Lincoln. And there was photographs taken of Booth with the Knights of the Golden Circle at the B'nai B'rith Lodge, the Masonic Lodge.
And it has been said that, or written and said, that Booth was a relation of the Rothschilds.
It's possible. I do know that his father, Booth's father, was a Shakespearean actor. And when he died, the Catholics came for the funeral. They thought he was a Catholic because he attended the Catholic Church. One of the Methodist ministers came. He thought he was a Methodist. And the rabbi came because Booth used to get up and read in Hebrew in the temple and synagogue.
Okay, there you go.
So, but one thing they all agree on, he was given the Masonic burial. So
they've been behind everything. The revolution in America,
uh-huh.
As I was writing the book, is that this chapter 12 that I mentioned is when it occurred to me that, oh my God, I never thought of this.
Mm-hmm.
But they obviously were the fomenters of the American Revolution.
Yeah, well, you'll find that again in that authorized book about the
B'nai B'rith.
By the B'nai B'rith, yeah.
Well, in the book that I quoted heavily from in that section was a book I have here,
mm-hmm.
from 1944, I think, by some guy, a Jew. It was titled Israel in America or America in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was in there referring to the war, the Revolutionary War, and it named the name of a wealthy Jew.
Mm-hmm.
That basically they said without him the war could never have been fought.
Was that there's Judah P. Benjamin in the South. That one's in the North and the South.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Judah Benjamin, but wasn't he what was named Davis's Treasury Secretary or something?
Well, Benjamin was in the South. Yeah, he was up in their Congress or a senator even.
Uh-huh.
And then after the war, he went over to England and was knighted for his part in fomenting the revolution.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was knighted. And I think it was his daughter married a relative of Israel Lieben.
So, see, we were led to believe that the Revolutionary War was fought to win our independence from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And we have grown up believing that.
Yeah.
These are the types of things that when it hits you, that it was such a lie that I think it's what begins to occur to people, everything that we ever thought we knew was a lie. And it's maybe when I said to you that time, everything I look at looks like not real.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I'm living in another world someplace.
Yeah.
And you said it's a good place to begin.
It is. You have to start to free fall be willing to free fall.
Oh, boy, free fall.
Yeah.
Well, you're a good catalyst for free falling, Alan.
Yeah, I know. I can do a bit of that too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, the B'nai B'rith was founded in, I think it was in the 1840s. You know, 1862 was the official founding. You know, in Washington D.C. I know that the head. In fact, I believe Simon Wolfe, who was the head at the time, was arrested right after Lincoln was shot because they said that he was implicated in the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So the B'nai B'rith definitely were mentioned in the congressional record.
And when you read the history of after the war,
mm-hmm.
in the South, basically, it appears to me that Abraham Lincoln was not an evil bad man. He was probably misadvised and probably led around by the nose like all presidents. But he kept insisting that after the war, it had to be all forgotten and let us start over again. And they were bound and damn determined that they were going to take over the South. They were going to bring a military force in and continue the destruction. And, of course, we got the 14th Amendment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurs to me, well, besides the fact that he had given an executive order to issue the greenbacks,
mm-hmm.
that they did not like at all, that were going to compete with their banknotes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I say, it's so complex when you get into it, all of the machinations that were going on at the time. And when you find, as I say, the B'nai B'rith, which is definitely is a Masonic order, even today, as I say, they still call that their big skyscrapers lodges, you know, they're registered lodges. And here they are making laws for the general public.
So, you know what? Something, an issue, a topic for another broadcast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. George W. Bush, royalty. Also, it appears, part of that Jewish bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I look at that, and John Kerry.
Yeah,
same thing.
Burke's peerage came out this time.
He had more royal blood than any president before him.
Yeah.
And he's a Jew.
Yeah.
So there we are with that, quote, royalty and that special bloodline. Folks, we're out of time. This will be a discussion that we will pick up in another broadcast. Have a lovely weekend, and a blessed New Year. And we will be back on Monday. Thank you, Alan. And folks, I apologize I didn't give Alan's address. We'll do that very next time. You should have reminded me, Alan.
Yep.
Okay.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweet.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its